Title of the message this morning is An Intercessory Christ. I'd like to begin in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. I'd like to read the account briefly of the first recorded Christian martyr. The 7th chapter of Acts. This is talking about Stephen. And Stephen had been preaching the gospel, and he was called to give an account before them, and he was testifying of what God had done and what he was doing. And those that were listening didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like his testimony of Christ. And so it said, when they heard these things, beginning in verse 54, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. In other words, Stephen was testifying of Christ. He was receiving opposition, and Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. In the middle of his trial, in the middle of his battle, he saw Jesus standing up in his behalf. And it said they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. In other words, they didn't want to hear it anymore. We don't want to hear what you have to say. And it said they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Stephen was the one calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And that's not the end of the story. See, they stoned Stephen to death. But it said he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep, or he died. In the middle of persecution, in the middle of pain, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, there was something that enabled Stephen to say, Lord, would you, in essence, would you forgive them? Don't hold them accountable for what they're doing to me. Anybody here been hurt by someone? Anybody here been talked about, been misrepresented, mistreated, cheated? Do you know Stephen left for us an example when he said, Lord, just please don't even lay this to their account. How was he able to do that? The answer is he wasn't, in his own strength and in his own ability. But in the middle of his trial, we read of Jesus Christ standing at the throne of God. Do you know Jesus was not sitting on the throne? And I know I've shared this little illustration before, but when your children start learning to walk, and there's a fireplace or some stone that they could hurt themselves, and they're teetering, and they're trying to walk, and you see they're about to fall, and they could fall and hurt themselves on the stone. Or do you just sit in your chair and be like, oh, I hope little Johnny doesn't get hurt? What do? You get out of your seat, and you're standing there ready to catch them. You're there ready to be there to help them if they get in trouble. This morning, that is what Jesus is doing for you, all right? Whatever trial you are in, if it's physical, Jesus is standing at the right hand of the throne of God. If you have been mistreated, if there are people in your life that are giving you trouble, we have an intercessory Christ who is standing up in your behalf today. If you are in a place of failure this morning, and it doesn't seem like you've come through your battles real well, and it seems like that you just have not been what you should have been spiritually, I want you to know that the Lord has not cut you off. The Lord Jesus is standing up for you. Because he died for us on Calvary. He died for us on the cross at Calvary. And he has a vested interest in each and every one of us. And when we get in trouble, the Lord is interested. He's interested in us. And he's going to stand there to be a go-between you and the Father and bridge that gap till we can come to a place of victory through his power. So he's standing up this morning. That is how Stephen was able to have the attitude that he did to those that were not treating him right, because he was revived and renewed in his spirit. Although he died, he was renewed in his spirit, because when he looked up, he saw the Savior. And the Savior was not ignoring him. The Savior didn't have his head turned, but Jesus was standing up at the right hand of the throne of God, just watching what's happening. Okay, God, let's give him some more strength now. He's struggling. Yeah, we want him to make it through. He's almost to the end of his course. He's almost finished. Father, let's give him what he needs. Do you know the Lord's doing that for each and every one of us this morning? As I was coming to service this morning, my mind went back in my own life, and you can do that in your life. But I thought about times that the Lord Jesus must have stood up for me when I was at the end of my resources. I thought of a time physically where very likely was on my deathbed, and it was very serious. And I remember having the children, Renee called the children in, giving them kind of the final goodbyes. Didn't know if I'd come back out of what I was in. It was something from Africa I had. Very sick. And I just, on the way to service this morning, I just wondered if at that point is when Jesus stood up. Said, it's not, God, I don't think it's Michael's time. You know, it kind of looks that way, but I just wondered this morning if that's the point that Jesus said, okay, I'm standing up. There have been times in my life spiritually that I was in a very precarious place. What does the song say? Temptation sharp and keen. But I feel a peace in knowing. Someone help me out. I didn't even realize that was the rest of it. My Savior stands between when temptation, when the enemy's battling hard, and it just seems like, you know what, I wonder if that's when the Lord Jesus stood up. Said, Michael, I got more grace for you. I got strength for you. You can do it. You can make it. I don't know what everybody's going through this morning, but I want you to know that Jesus is there to intercede for you. He is there to go to the Father in your behalf, where maybe it seems like there's a gap between you and God. Jesus came as a baby. He grew to manhood to experience the emotions, experience suffering, experience rejection, and he went through that to qualify him, in part, that he could understand our problems and our infirmities and our weakness, that he could bridge the gap between us and the Heavenly Father. And to know that there are times the Lord Jesus is standing up, I'll tell you, it renews me. It renews me when you think, I just can't take anymore. It's like you look up, Lord, I need help. And you look up and Jesus is standing up. It's like, I've got you. I'm talking to the Father about you. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it through. Well, in our suffering, in times of sorrow, in times of our questions. Have you ever had questions? You know, Jesus is standing up. Jesus is standing up for us. I understand. I understand you don't understand. And the Lord stands up to intercede for us because he wants all of us to make it this morning. Young people, maybe I should say old people, middle age, Jesus is not working against you today. He's not working against you. He has our best interest at heart. And when we're struggling, let's not give up. Let's not let down. But let's realize that, you know what? I'm going through a valley. But my Lord is standing up for me. And he's going to see me through. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31. Now, this story of Stephen, it was a place of victory, wasn't it? He did die, but it was still victory. Because you know what happened when he died? He was received into paradise. I'm just repeating myself. When it comes my time, that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm working for. When I die, if any of you happen to be at my funeral, I just want you to remember that's what he was working for. Thank God. Stephen died. God did not let him down. He gained his reward that day. But until he got there, as David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. During times of that dying process, the Lord stood up. I also thought of a saintly sister that I sat at her bedside most of the night as she had heart attack after heart attack, and her body was literally coming off the bed with her heart. And I remember finally, and Sister Karen Dixon and I were there together at her bed that night, and I remember finally she had the last heart attack and she passed away. As I drove to service this morning, she came back to my mind, and I wonder, that last heart attack, I wonder if that's when Jesus stood up. Father, it's time. We don't want her to suffer anymore. It's time. I wonder if Jesus stood up and just carried her into paradise. Death is not defeat. But the Lord had brought this scripture to my heart in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and it's quoted frequently. And it was a real blessing to me when the Lord, I was meditating on it, and I thought, actually, that's kind of discouraging. So I'd like us to look at this scripture. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. It doesn't end up discouraging, though, okay? The Lord said, Simon, Simon. You know when someone says your name more than once, I don't know. You children know what that means, don't you? Simon, Simon. He said, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know this morning that Satan desires to have each and every one of us. None of us are exempt from it. Doesn't matter how young or old we are. Doesn't matter how long we've served the Lord. Satan desires to have you. And then Jesus, in telling Peter that, is like, what a beautiful words to have this Savior, this intercessory Christ, this in-between, this go-between, say, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Isn't that beautiful? But then I thought of the rest of the story. But that was before Peter failed. So then what good was Jesus' prayer? He said, I prayed for thee, your faith fail not. And then Peter denied the Lord. Like, so what good was it? But do you realize that Peter's failure was not the end of the story? Because if you look and examine this word, when Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, that word means to utterly fail or fail altogether. Because Jesus went on to say, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. In other words, Peter, I want you to know I've prayed for you that you don't lose your faith completely. Now, there's going to be a failure in there, but it will not be a total failure. It will not be an absolute failure because you will be renewed and revived. And that's exactly what happened with Peter. He failed the Lord, but he did not fail absolutely. Judas did not come back to the Lord, but Peter, on the other hand, came and wept with tears of bitterness of repentance, and the Lord renewed him and restored him. Peter did not lose his faith in God to where he lost his soul. This morning, I would that we be comforted in knowing that Jesus says, you know what? I know you're in a hard place, and there may be some areas that you don't come through with the victory that maybe you would have liked at the moment. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you absolutely, and that you're going to come through this more effective than you were before. Brother Sean, the Lord is saying, I have prayed for thee. Brother Randy, the Lord's saying, I prayed for you. Sister Tammy, the Lord's saying, I'm praying for you. Isn't that a blessing? We just go around the room this morning. The Lord's praying for us. That's what He's doing, standing up at the right hand of the throne of God. He's taking our case to the Father, and He's praying for us. And I'll tell you what, I gained courage from that. I'm not in this by myself. You're not in this alone. We've got a Savior that's praying for us, and He's standing up at the right hand of the throne of God. The Scripture says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5, a mediator is a go-between. Jesus is our go-between this morning. Have you ever, I know some go-betweens, they take gossip from this person and take it over here. You know, they're just taking it and it exacerbates the problem. That's not the go-between that the Savior is. It's like, you know what? There's some distance here. And the Savior is the one that is extending His hand and He's bridging the gap, unifying us to the Father through His blood. Through His blood, that He changes us to enable us to be able to come into the presence of the Heavenly Father. Well, so there's one. And it is not, and we won't take the time to read all of the verses, but in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, it talks about the earthly priesthood. And the high priest is the one that went in to the most holy place one time of the year with blood, with sacrifice, and yet people still continued in their sin. But the high priest went to mediate or to intercede in behalf of the transgressions of the people. But today, Jesus Christ is our high priest. Today, we don't have to go by way of man. Remember so clearly the nuns in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, I believe it was. And I was moved when I saw these nuns going in saying confession to the priest. And I think, how did they come out of their little booth? Did they come out changed? No. But do you realize that Jesus Christ can do for you and me what man cannot do? That we can come into the presence of the Father and He's there to take our case. And He's there to intercede for us. And He shed His blood to do what the blood of bulls and of goats could not do in our life, that we might be reconciled to God the Father. No longer do we go through the priesthood, and which means then that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is the one going to the mercy seat in our behalf. No, that's what the high priest used to do. Now it's Christ. And He's coming to the mercy seat where God is, and saying, you know what, my brother's in trouble down there. My sister's struggling physically, spiritually, emotionally, any way that you might be troubled today. Christ is going into the mercy seat in your behalf. And if you feel like I just can't keep going, the Lord knows that. And that's why He's standing up. And He doesn't have His sword raised ready to cut you off this morning. There is not one of you this morning that the Lord wants to cut off. Not one of you. Jesus is standing up for you in your trial, in your confusion, in your suffering, in your battle. Jesus loves you and He cares for you and He's interceding for you. We can make it this morning. Jesus is praying for us. The Scripture in 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, if it be the case, it's not God's will for any to sin. But if you sin, if any man sin, we have what? An advocate. We have an intercessor. We have a mediator. We have an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus Christ the righteous. Is there anyone here that has not ever fallen short of what God wants you to be. There is an advocate this morning. And an earthly advocate, we might say they're an attorney. And do you know attorneys, a lot of attorneys, I'm not going to throw the whole bunch out, all right? But there are a lot of attorneys that their job is to paint things and make it look the best that they can. Jesus is not covering for our needs this morning. If there is transgression, he's not trying to put it in the best light he can and excuse it. But his intercessory power is grounded in the blood that he shed. That he goes before God the Father, and it's not that, well, let's just excuse this woman who has sinned. No, he's saying, yes, there's sin, and they're struggling, and they're not making it, but there's an avenue to redemption that they can actually look at the judge and say, I won't do it anymore. How can the Lord guarantee that? Because we go through his blood. He's not trying to excuse sin. He's not trying to excuse our problems, but there is power in his blood as the intercessor that can change our life. That through confidence in the blood of Jesus, he can go to the God, the Father, with confidence and say, they're struggling here and there's been some problems and needs, but through the power of my blood, Father, they can make it. Let's give them another opportunity. We'll forgive them, Lord. Let's forgive them. Let's renew them because my blood can work a perfect cure. It can cleanse the heart. It can keep it pure, thank God. That's the power of the intercessory Christ. It's not because he's trying to twist things to make it look better. It's not because he's just trying to paint this, romanticize something or make excuses. It's because of the power of his blood that he can go to the Father with confidence and say, you know what, through my blood, there can be a change in this life, and through that blood, we can be reconciled to God. He's mediating for us this morning. Thank God for it. Over in Hebrews in the 7th chapter, as we bring this to a close this morning, I have two more scriptures. I'd like us to read in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Put your confidence in people and you're going to be disappointed. Put your confidence in a group and there's going to be some hurts. But put your confidence in the intercessory Christ. He is an unchangeable priesthood. His love and his mercy and his kindness and his grace and his power will not change. And it's reaching out to us today. And it says, wherefore, because of that, he is able to save them to the uttermost, to him that cometh to God, seeing he ever liveth to make what? To make intercession for them. Why is Christ living today? To make intercession for them. And do you know who then is? It's us. That's me today. That's you. That's why Christ is living and standing at the right hand of God, that he could make intercession for us. Intercession means to entreat. It means to confer with. He's there bridging the gap, and it's grounded in the blood of Jesus. Making intercession for us, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Isn't that wonderful this morning? We have an intercessory Christ who is there at the right hand of God, standing up. He's praying for us. He's interceding for us, and there is power. I have prayed for you. Brother Stephen, Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Sister Chelsea, I have prayed for thee. Does that bring comfort? It makes me feel so good. And I know we don't live on feelings, but I'm thankful for feelings that come with the experience. It just warms my heart to know that Jesus has my name on his lips and he's praying for me. because we don't have to make it by ourselves. In failure, in struggle, in suffering, in disappointment, in sorrow, and in death, we have an intercessory Christ. So as we conclude this morning, in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, in the 14th verse, he said, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens," said, seeing this, remember this, knowing that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, he said, "Let us hold fast our profession." So what should this do for us to know that we have an intercessory Christ? Let's hold fast our profession this morning. Let's not give up. You may be hanging on by a thread this morning, but thank God for the power of the thread if it's connected to Christ. I don't want to let up. I don't want to give up my profession. The world is pulling strongly. The flesh is trying to drag us down. The influence of the world is strong. The pressures are real, young people. But thank God, hold on to your profession. Don't give up because we've got a high priest. He said, "For we have not a high priest." It's a double negative, so if you will give me a little liberty, I'll just take out that double negative. "For we have a great high priest who is touched with the filling of our infirmities." Anybody have any infirmities this morning? You know what an infirmity is? It's a weakness of any kind. "We have a high priest who is touched with the filling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we are, yet without sin." With that knowledge and with that understanding that this is the kind of priest that we have today, he said, "Let us therefore," do what? "Come boldly." That word boldly means with assurance. I don't have to come dragging, but I can come with assurance, not in me, not in who I am, not in my righteousness, but in the strength and love of my great high priest. I can come with assurance to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know what the Lord has to give to us before He gives us grace? He has mercy. Are there any of us this morning that are not dependent upon the mercy of God? We can come with assurance knowing that there's a place of mercy. And as the Lord looks on and He understands our humanity, He's moved on His throne and He's there in mercy to give us the grace and the strength to help us that we also can have victory in this life, that we can overcome sin, that we can find when we get to the places of life. And I will acknowledge I was physically at one last week. I didn't know if I could take any more pain. And I said, "Lord, you said you wouldn't put more on us." I said, "I'm there." And yet the Lord was there. And guess what? I'm here today. How'd that happen? Because somewhere in there, the Lord stood up and said, "All right, enough's enough." And He stood up. He's there to have mercy and to give us the help that we need. If you allow me from the Lord to give you a little message, and I know I just gave you a 30-minute message or thereabouts, the Lord loves you this morning. He cares about you. He's touched by the things that you struggle with, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the Lord is interested in you making it. And He's standing up for you today. And He's praying for you. Amen.